Season 3 of the Couple Money Podcast is here, and we're going to help you get a jump start for 2016. All this month, we're looking at big goals, dreams, and how you can achieve them. We're starting off the season with a bang. Joe and Kathleen, the masterminds behind Stacking Benjamins, are going to share how you can save half your income this year. Seriously, it can be done, and it has been done, as they'll explain in a bit. We go over big and small ways you can adjust your finances and lives so you can still enjoy things with the family and build up some serious savings. Hope you love this episode. Saving half your income sounds impossible, but many people have done it, including Kathleen, who a few years ago decided that enough was enough. Her original goal was not necessarily about savings, but rather getting out of debt.
I had a mountain of credit card debt. And actually, that's the reason I started a personal finance blog myself, was because I had gotten myself into $25,000 in credit card debt. And I woke up on my 30th birthday and I still had some left. And I thought, okay, you're in your 30s now. It's time to grow up and get that fixed. And so I started living very much like a monk and just started diligently paying everything down. And I read an article that said, if you really want to change your life, you should save half your income. And just like you, I thought, well, okay, that's great. Like, sure, you know, if you're super rich, then maybe it's just the difference between not buying a new BMW this year or something like that. But I can't do that. And then I started talking to friends about it, and they said, you know, because you're not continuing to get into debt, you can count those debt payments as your savings. And so if you count those, how close did you get? And so I did the math, and at the end of 2012, I had saved 47% of my $33,000 income. Congrats. And I thought, if I can do that, then other people can do it too. I started talking to my friends who made more money, and everyone's like, ah, no, not really. And I thought, you know, it's actually, the mindset is so hard. It sounds so difficult. As if like, it's like you walk into a room and you're like, I save half my income. And by the way, I just read the entire dictionary or so, you know, something ridiculous.
That accomplishment triggered a desire to do more. Because if you've gotten out of debt, you already have the habits to build wealth. It's a matter of shifting those payments you were making into savings and investments. While any time is great to get started on building wealth, most people feel this extra push to accomplish something at the first of the year. The hard part is about the follow-through. Joe talked about a key to being successful with your financial and life goals.
As you know, Elle, I just can't stand New Year's resolutions where we're going to maybe lose a few pounds or I'm going to work out a little, like these goals that are just, I'm going to get incrementally better. Well, anybody who's done anything awesome or great, it wasn't incremental. It was a big push. And we all spend time looking at each other's awesome lives on Facebook and how everybody's doing all this cool stuff. And Kathleen and I kind of said, you know, why can't 2016 be the year where we help people say, why not now? And why not me? You know, if everybody else can do this cool stuff, why can't I do something that's cool? Especially when it's a lot easier than you think when you apply what Kathleen's talking about, apply some pretty cool systems. So I think for couples looking to get their house in order in 2016, it's pretty exciting.
It might sound complicated, but systems actually are meant to make things easier for you.
Yeah, there's a couple things. What gets measured gets respected. I had a great mentor tell me that one time, and it's been so true my entire career as a financial advisor, every business I've started. If I measure it, I respect it, and the people around me respect it. So when Cheryl and I tried, my spouse and I, we try to do anything together. If we're going to take it seriously, we measure our progress. So setting up a series of measurements, okay, where am I at now? How far am I away from 50%? What are the key things where we've got money that's bleeding out that we should figure out a new lifestyle change, like not something that's going to be like a fad diet, but some way we're going to live our life differently on a weekly, daily basis so that we get further ahead and get closer to saving 50%. And then, and this is the cool one, once you find the money and you identify the money that you're going to save, finding secret ways to hide it from yourself. Because you, as you know, we're our own worst enemy, right?
How exactly would you do that? Let's start with your paychecks. Joe had a hack that would make savings your default instead of being a chore on your to-do list. And the best part, it only takes one tweak to set it up.
I mean, everybody has direct deposit as an example, but we all direct deposit money to the wrong place. We direct deposit directly to a checking account that has ATM card access, and the money all goes in Friday and it all comes back out on Saturday. So the problem isn't direct deposit. The problem is us and where we're direct depositing to. So just one simple cool tweak is this: instead of direct depositing to a checking account, just make one trip to your bank. Actually, you can even do this online now. Change your direct deposit so it goes into a savings account that doesn't have ATM access. And then banks are happy to help you do this. Have the amount of money you need to live on each, you know, every 2 weeks or every month. Have that money then automatically moved from your savings to your checking.
This can be an effective change because it takes you out of the equation in a way. And sometimes that can be a good thing.
And what happens is this huge mindset shift. When you start off direct depositing to checking, what your brain says is, yeah, I'll save some money, but I'll do it after the month is over when the next paycheck comes in, just in case, right? Just in case something comes up, I'm going to leave it there. And you know what happens when you do that? If there's money in your checking account, the rule is something always comes up. But if the money is already in your savings account, and now it's technically in your brain, it's already saved, and then something comes up, we're amazing. Human beings are phenomenal. We can find other ways around most problems. So we leave the money saved. And I found that making that one little system change has helped people save tons of money they didn't think they could.
Automating is something I encourage for certain aspects of your finances. But you still matter. There are choices you make that can have a significant impact on your bank accounts. For instance, where and how you live.
Absolutely. Yeah. And some of them are bigger picture. So we, you know, you can move away from San Francisco or New York, and almost certainly save money if you move inland. So you can consider downsizing. We focus on minimalism. So is the whole point for, in my opinion, of minimalism is the less you have, the less you want, and vice versa. So the more you have, the more you feel like you need to acquire. And so getting rid of a bunch of stuff makes you realize, well, gosh, we have two empty rooms that we don't need. Maybe we could move out of this bigger house and move into something smaller or a home that's more efficiently laid out. My house is 1,800 square feet, but it's laid out in a way that makes it really feel big. It's an open layout plan, and you know, so you don't need as much space maybe as you think you do.
You might think that's really drastic, or one of you may have a job that requires staying in a certain area. Perhaps you have kids, or a small place isn't the right solution. That doesn't mean you can't save more. In fact, as a couple, you already have a powerful resource to help you build wealth, one another. As Joe had seen with his financial practice, having a system that includes both of your inputs works wonders.
Well, here's the biggest hang up. In most families that I worked with over my career, one person in the family knows where every dime's being spent, and the other person is in a place we call fantasy land, where they know the other person's got a handle on it, so they don't have to. And so what happens is, this is where these arguments start, that people have around money, because there really is deeper issues than just money. But the second that the person in fantasy land goes to the store and the debit card doesn't work, they come home and here's the conversation they have that's a horrible conversation. I thought you knew where everything was. I thought you were taking care of this. How come you aren't taking care of it better? And the other person then is obviously offended and angry, and rightfully so, because they've been taking care of everything. And then they retort back, well, you know what? This would go a lot easier if you had a clue what was going on with our financial life. And from there, the argument gets big. So a lot of this for couples is more about communication than knowing where every dime is spent.
If you want to get started, look at having short weekly check-ins with one another.
So one thing that I really like is a weekly, Cheryl and I do this, we have a weekly meeting. It's not a long meeting. A lot of people aren't drinkers. Cheryl and I, though, we like a glass of wine. We did this, by the way, my twins are 20 now. We started these weekly meetings when my kids were still having nap time. And so it was Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. My twins went in for a nap and we would have a glass of wine and we would look over all the bills together. We would look over all that came in that week. We would look over all of our savings together. And then we talk about big expenses coming up the next week. And it is amazing when we're both on the same page, just with those three things. After the first meeting, which might have ran a little long as we figured out what our systems were going to be, 15 minutes maybe, we meet a week. And it is fun. And we look forward to it. And that I think, is a huge key to saving more money is communication.
Don't be fooled by how informal these weekly check-ins are. Little changes like these can add up quickly. All the fanciest, most powerful calculators, spreadsheets, and apps out there won't do you much good if you two aren't communicating. When you sit down and talk about finances comfortably, you can then tackle your money leaks. Each couple, of course, has their own quirks, but Joe's noticed certain areas of the budget seem to be problem spots for many families.
When we look at people's budget, you know what we find? People waste money in two areas, and it's on their entertainment stuff. They don't really have an entertainment budget. They just entertain themselves. And then the second thing is on meals. A lot of people spend a lot of money eating at restaurants instead of doing meal planning. And it's funny because if we especially focus just on the meal planning, that is a cool thing for couples to start doing because A, you do it together. So everybody, it's a group activity, which is awesome. In fact, a good friend of yours and mine, he's been on your show, Len Penzo, they do a fun meal planning where every member of the family gets to pick one of the meals every day. Nice. And then they also focus on stuff that is more healthy. There's a great book that I read, that Tony Bourdain, he's all over, CNN now, I think. He wrote a great book called Kitchen Confidential. He was formerly a chef. He talks about how restaurants get you back. And even if they tell you that the food's really healthy, he said, you know what, your health is your problem. My problem is to get you to come back. And I do that with butter and salt. Right? Those are the two things you're addicted to. So the problem is if you eat in restaurants all the time, you're going to think slower. You're going to be less healthy. If you meal plan, you do it together. Once again, the communication aspect, you can build healthier food. And then the third piece that we find obviously is it's way, way, way less expensive. You can in fact splurge on a meal or two a week where you have some really great stuff. And then the rest of the week, maybe batch together on a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon where you're batching a lot of the week's meals and spend a lot less money and still eat like kings and queens.
While we don't batch our cooking, we have shifted over to planning our meals ahead for the week, and it's lowered our food bill. Something to check out the next time you two have a few minutes together. But as wonderful as it is to save money, it's just as important to look at the other side of the equation.
Because really, of the two, making more money is way easier than trying to cut. You can't shrink your way to greatness, right? making more money is often easier to do. It's a little bit more of a mental struggle. Because we have this imposter syndrome where we don't think we're worth it. But man, if we can just increase your income, it makes it so much easier. The frustration that a lot of people find when I was a financial advisor, I work with people on this. One of the first things we do is we would look at how competitive their salary is if they're working for the man, and people are surprised when they find out that they're not being paid what a lot of people that are doing similar work are being paid. And you've seen this a lot lately in the media around women, right? And women going to ask for a raise and needing to ask for a raise in a different way than a man does. And I don't want to, get into gender politics, but the bigger issue, whether you're a man or a woman and you're asking for more money, there's a way to do that. And it's to put yourself on the same side of the table as your boss. Don't go in there telling them, hey, I'm trying to make 2016 an epic year and I really want to save half my income. And I was thinking you could give me more money. So you need to go in there with a plan that helps the company and walk in with data about all the things that you could be doing and what people are paid that do that.
If you're curious about how you can start that conversation at work, or you want more ways to save big, you should check out Joe and Kathleen's Save 50 course.
The course is at save50.org, and it's really cool because a lot of this is mindset. So if you have the mindset like, hey, I can save half my income next year, or even like, hey, saving half my income seems like something that would be neat, I'm not sure if I can do it, we help you with the technical details.
As we covered many times in the podcast, and just recently with one of our top 10 shows, community is critical if you're looking to make big changes. The camaraderie and accountability can make all the difference.
When I was living in Detroit and I was a financial advisor, I would run 5Ks a fair amount. I'd have some fun. We moved to Texarkana. All my friends were marathoners. I had never, ever considered running a marathon. I'm about to run marathon number 11 in a month.
Wow.
And that's just in the last 6 years. So, and it's just the people I've been around. So you hear these stories about how wolves succeed because they pack hunt, or, you know, dolphins pack hunt. Pack hunting, when it comes to reaching your goal, whether it's whatever your goal is, find a group of people that are going the same way. So we have a closed Facebook group, and that group is going to be a place where we hold each other accountable. We share secrets that we figured out. And these aren't just coming from Kathleen and I. These are people in the course that are sharing things that really work for them to help them save money and capture it. Yeah, because at some point you're not going to be as excited anymore, which is why it's all about us working through systems. But there's actually a second part of this course that I really like. We didn't want to have a course where people have to all meet, you know, next Wednesday at 2:30, because as you said, all people are busy and maybe you can't make it at that time. And that's why it's a go at your own pace course. But the second piece, which I think is equally as important, is what you talked about, community. And when you get like-minded people together, they're much more likely to achieve big goals than if you try to do it on your own.
If you're going to go big this year with your money, you can find out more information at couplemoney.com/savehalf. Special thanks to Kathleen and Joe for coming on the podcast. If you haven't already, please listen to Stacking Benjamins. It's the funniest personal finance podcast out there. They get into current events, have some great roundtables, and talk to some of the most fascinating people. Please join us next week when we focus on earning more. Not talking about a side income, but enough to quit your job. Steve from My Wife Quit Her Job is going to come on to talk about how they made the transitions, some of the challenges they had, and what helped them to be successful. If you don't want to miss that, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. It's free and easy, so there's no excuse. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, you name it. You can also grab the feed off our site so you can listen to the show from whatever podcast service app you prefer. I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care.